Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so excited that Riley Sager is back on the pod. I can't wait for you to listen to us chat about his upcoming thriller, The House Across the Lake. I loved this book so much and I had such a blast talking with Riley about it. So without further ado, here's my interview with the phenomenal Riley Sager. Hi, Riley Sager. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am so, so happy to be chatting with you today. Oh my God, this book.
This book is freaking insane. And it's one of those things where I can't really talk about it. And yeah. That was the thing where, like, with my publicist, where I was like, what can we say about this book? Like, did I write a book that we can't talk about? And so... And a lot of people, like I see like people on Instagram or whatever, they're like, guys, go into this blind.
And yeah.
Like, I wish that I would sell books, that I could just do every interview and be like, I can't say a thing, go into it blind. We're done here.
Just can't. Yeah. Just trust and goodbye. Yeah. No, it's it's funny. And I feel like that does happen every once in a while. Like I had an interview with someone recently where I was like, okay, in the interview, we're going to spoil things, but I'm going to put something in the top so that people can read the book first and then listen to the interview. Cause I was like, I do think this one there, we can talk about generalizations without spoiling.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
The big pieces are the twists. And obviously we're not going to talk about the twists.
Of which there are many and are just bonkers, and I loved coming up with them.
So we'll get into that in a second. can you do an elevator pitch for this? Like, how are you, just for the folks who obviously haven't gotten to read it yet because it's not out yet, how are you describing this book to folks?
Rear Window on a Lake.
Perfect. That, yeah, that's
it's pretty much what it is. Like, you know, and then I do go into like, oh, it's this woman named Casey. She's an actress. She got into some bad press. So she's been sort of banished to her family's lake house in Vermont. And she meets the couple across the lake and they're perfect, but they're not perfect. And she's spying on them. And then Catherine goes missing. And so I do like that. But it just in general, it's like Rear Window on a Lake that gets insane.
Yeah. 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 I can't add to that. That's what it is. It's perfect. And I love Rear Window. It's one of my favorite movies, just, you know, hands down. So when I discovered, as I was reading it and like, oh, things were, and I was like, oh my God, it's Rear Window. Oh my God. I love it so much. And you are a fan of classic movies.
I love classic movies. I'm just a big movie fan in general. And so for me, it is fun to take aspects of movies and maybe twist them around and even just reference them. Like, yeah. I wasn't being cagey in this book. Like,
no.
Casey references Rear Window. Like, she knows she is in a Rear Window situation and even does, like, she starts doing things like, okay, in Rear Window, they did this, so I need to do this.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not even being coy, like, oh, this is something you've never seen before. It's like, you've seen this before. I know you have. You've read this before.
Yep.
Until you haven't.
Until you have not. So let's, obviously, without any spoilers, let's talk about how you do twists. Because your books are the only ones that get me gasping out loud.
Well,
like, every time. I'm like...
Thank you. That is a great compliment. Yes. No, with this one, I knew that it was out there. I knew this from the beginning, to the point where, like, I did have to, like, with my editor and my agent, just go through plot by plot and like, okay, this is what happens in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have your blessing to do this? And they were like, oh my God, yes. But like, I knew I was onto something when my first reader is always like, a dear old friend of mine. I've known her since high school and she will not lie to me. Like, if it's something's not working, she'll tell me. And if it's working, she'll tell me. And so she likes to text me her thoughts real time as she's reading the book, which is wonderful because I know what a reader is thinking at any given moment.
Yeah.
And so when she got to that moment in the book. She sent me this text. It was like all caps. And it was just like, she's like, I'm sorry. What the fuck is happening on page blank? And like all these exclamation points. And she was at a hotel at the time. And she's like, I think the people in the room next to mine are concerned about me because of the gasp that I just let out. And that's when I knew. I was like, yeah. I did it. Like, I know this is goal accomplished here.
I mean, truly, the last time I gasped as loud as I did reading this one was the last book of yours. I did the same thing. And both times I was at work reading it and my coworker went, are you okay? It's like, no, I'm not. I'm really not. and there's something about a twist that like, it gets to a point, you know, you're a certain way through the book and you're like, okay, I kind of think I know where this is going. Like, I bet it's going to take this route. Like, all right, I think I get the ending. And then no, not have pulled that. No. And what's so funny and what's so great about your twists in particular is that you pull in threads that I had forgotten were loose threads. Like, you pull things and I'm like, oh, of course, that conversation from chapter two. How could I have forgotten?
Yeah, it really, and you have to play fair with the reader. Like, you can't just, something can't just come out of completely left field. You have to lay the groundwork. And that is the hardest thing to do as an author, because I know where the book is going, any clue or hint that I plant feels so glaringly obvious to me. Like, I liken it to this like red neon arrow just going, clue, I'm telling you what's happening, clue. Yeah. And then so I'm surprised sometimes when people are surprised, because I still feel like, it's like, guys, I told you exactly what's going to happen, like on page X. And then it doesn't happen until 200 pages late. But like, you do lay that groundwork. And it's a very tricky balance to strike between like, okay, I need to give some kind of hint or warning of what's to come without drawing attention to it. So people will be surprised, but then they won't feel cheated.
Right. Yes. No. And it's done so well, especially in this one. And because it was one of those moments where the big twist happened and then another twist happened and I went, oh my God. And like, but it was, as soon as it happened, I went, oh, that makes so much, of course that's what's happening here. But like would never have predicted it, even though all the clues are there. So it's just, what a great, but I hope my listeners are like already pre-ordering this because, oh my God, like,
this is a book I'm so like, this was truly like the most fun I've had writing, because normally I'm racked with self-doubt and I second guess myself. I'm like, is this where I want to go with this book? Is this what I want to do? And from this one, from the very beginning, it was like, this is where I'm going. Mm. And so to have all that pressure and self-doubt taken away was very freeing, because then I could just focus on having fun. And I think the fun translates onto the page in this one. I've had a lot of people who've read it being like, this is just so fun and suspenseful and confident. And it's like, because I wasn't in my head the whole time.
Oh,
I was just enjoying the process. Like, I think lots of authors have like one book that they write just for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about the critics or like the sales. They're like, this is just the book that I've always wanted to write. And so for me, The House Across the Lake is like the book. Like, I hope everyone else loves it.
I mean,
but I wrote it for me. Like, I was very selfish. Yeah, it's like, this one's for me, guys.
No, I love that. And it's funny because I was thinking earlier, because I've read all of your books and I was like, I think this one's my favorite, but I couldn't quite put my finger on why. I was like, I love Rear Window. So there's that. Like, it's very sort of like, close to my heart, but also I was like, I don't know. There's something about this one that and I think that's what it is. I think I like could feel that. I could feel the joy you had writing it. It comes through.
I really do think it comes through that it's like, oh yeah, he's on a roll and he's having a blast writing this, and it shows.
Yeah. And so we mentioned, obviously a few times that this is Rear Window on a Lake. I love a trope. I love a trope. I love going into a book, knowing what I'm getting or discovering as I'm reading, like, oh my God, it's this. And you use a couple of tropes, in this one so well. So obviously you have the Rear Window on a Lake, and then you also have the unreliable narrator, which I also am just like, yes. why the pairing of those two? I mean, like, cause I love an unreliable narrator, but like, just why this one and why the alcoholism? I just think it's perfect. But
well, I knew I could have like gone two ways with this, where like Rear Window on a Lake, let's pretend this hasn't been done before. Mm-hmm. Or we could just totally acknowledge that this has been done before and just use all of the tropes. Like, this was before that Kristen Bell Netflix show, where like I sort of almost had that in mind, where I'm like, I almost want it to feel kind of like a parody. Mm-hmm. Where like we're just doing all of the stuff, like, yes, she's a drunk and she has binoculars and she's looking at the glamorous couple in this glass house, and there's the hot ex-cop next door, and they're on this, like, it was just, yes, trying to throw in like every single cliche I could think of, and then like cranking it up to 11.
Yes.
And just because readers who understand, like, I think a lot of readers who've read me before will sort of know and kind of be in on the joke, and it's not mm-hmm. jokey, and it's done really well, but it could be seen where it is like, oh, now, okay, now this person comes in, and, you know, oh, now we get the person lecturing her about drinking too much and stop spying on the neighbors, and will you just look at yourself, Casey, you're a mess, and like all these things that are required for this type of book. Like, I knew I had to have them, because then I also knew it was going to make what comes later even more surprising. And so there, I know that there will be readers who come in for the Rear Window, drunken, unreliable narrator aspect, mm-hmm. and they'll get to the twist, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, no. No, this is not what I was, I thought I was getting this. Mm-hmm. So no. And I know it's going to happen. And so, and it's okay. Like, it's.
And you'll have enough readers like me who are like, get to the twist, and they're like, yes. we'll drown out the others. choice of words intended. I'm curious. So far, and I know we're about to wrap up. I know that so far all of your books have been standalones. Do you think you'll ever do like a recurring character or a sequel or anything?
No.
No.
I mean, never say never, but I'm as close to never as you can get with. Cool. I like, you know, I love all my books, and but when I'm done with them, it's like, thank you for mm-hmm. this journey. Now I want to do something else.
Yeah,
but I will say, and I bet you picked up on, there are some Easter eggs in The House Across the Lake that indicate that all my books do take place in the same shared universe.
Yes.
So, but it's not like the Avengers, like, you know, Quincy is not going to show up in like the next book as a surprise, but they do take place in the same world, and, you know, cool. That was really fun to have, like, be like, yeah, I want to reference this.
Yeah. Yep. There were definitely moments where I was like, I think, yeah, definitely. that's amazing. Riley, I know you have a super, super busy day ahead of you, so I won't keep you. I can't wait for this book to come out on June 21st so I can throw it at all of my customers, because, oh awesome. My God, I need other people to scream about this book with.
I want to scream about it too. Like, I can't wait for people to read it and just be like, oh my God, or the few nopes.
I kind of can't wait to see the nope reviews too, because I feel like it's going to be like, oh, just have fun. Come on.
Yeah, just lighten up, guys. It's just a
lighten
fun.
Up.
Well, this was so much fun. Thank you.
Incredible. I'm so excited, and good luck with the rest of your day of interviews.
Thank you so much. Talk to you
later. Thanks, Riley. Bye. Bye-bye.
Huge thanks again to Riley Sager for joining me on the podcast. The House Across the Lake is out on June 21st and will be available at Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with any books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!